Gary Thompson. I'm here with Randy Abrams, and this is the Malware Report. Randy, in the last session, we were talking about spam and the proliferation of spam and, you know, what we can do about it. I read recently that one company is using diagnostics and heuristics on recipients' mailboxes as opposed to the sender's IP address. Can you give me a little feedback on that? What's it all about?
Well, one potential way to try to combat spam is to say, we know this computer, which you identify by the IP address, potentially. We know this computer is sending spam, so anything coming from this IP address, we're going to block. Now, that's somewhat useful, except that people's IP addresses change. They're usually assigned dynamically, and after a period of time, they expire and they change. Additionally, it might have been a hijacked computer, one that has a bot on it, and they clean this up, and now blocking stuff from that IP address isn't really effective. And fundamentally, it's not the IP address you want to block. It's the spam. So you go to the email box, which is where the spam is delivered, and you use approaches such as ESET has been using for malicious software that are called heuristics. You try to determine behaviorally or by use of rules whether or not a message is spam. So, for example, ESET's just incorporated in smart security product anti-spam and a firewall, as well as our heuristics engine for the malware. And by doing this, we're able to apply more rules to better be able to identify both malicious code and spam. And ESET obviously isn't the only company that's figured out that what it is that we want to stop is spam, so we better figure out how we can recognize what's spam and what isn't. And fundamentally, it's the stuff coming into the user's mailbox that you really do need to detect. And you need to offer the flexibility that the user can say, well, this might look like spam to you, but to me, this is legitimate email. Right. You can't do that based on IP alone.
How is the Stormworm able to adapt itself so quickly and alter its code? You know, I mean, I've heard it's changing every 30 minutes or more to, you know, sort of evade spam filters and defenses.
Well, there's two components. One, there's the Stormworm itself, which isn't spam, it's malicious software. And that's the part that's changing all the time to avoid detection. But the machines that are affected with the Stormworm become bots, and they start sending out lots of spam. And it's easy to tell them to change the spam they're sending as well. So the Stormworm itself, it's pretty easy for them to change that dynamically and programmatically, because fundamentally a computer program, which a bot is a computer program, is at the basic level math. So if I want to say 5 and make it look different, I could say 2 plus 3, or I could say 7 minus 2, or, you know, there's an infinite number of ways that I can come to the same answer but make it look different. So at a high level, that's how they're able to make it look different and break signature-based scanning very, very rapidly and even automatically.
I see.
So that's why the companies that are effectively blocking the Stormworm are basing it on heuristics, what it's doing instead of what it looks like.
Well, one of the things I know that people sort of say, well, you know, what difference does it make if my computer's infected, if I've turned into a botnet or part of a botnet. But what I heard recently is that the botnets can be used for extortion, literally creating denial of service for certain operations, and then calling them up and saying, for $100,000, we'll stop our denial of service attack. That sounds like organized crime. Are a lot of these coming out of Russia?
That's the information we're seeing is that a lot of this is organized in Russia, and it's definitely criminal activity. In fact, past couple of years, there was a significant extortion ring that was arrested in Russia. It was a combination of the British police and Russian police cooperating together, which is something we need a lot more of, is international law enforcement collaboration. And it's starting to happen. But yeah, but people that think, you know, who cares if my computer's infected with the bot, what they don't seem to understand is that if there's a bot on your computer, it can download and upload anything. That means that if you access your bank account, it can steal your username and password. And you might say, well, I don't use my computer for banking. But a bot can also cause your computer to store illegal content, such as child pornography.
Really?
And, yeah, I mean, bots have been used to store things that the bad guys don't want to get caught having on their computer. And
so that puts me at risk as a consumer. Having that on my computer, I would imagine...
could get you arrested, definitely.
Yes.
And right now, in probably the majority of the world, law enforcement isn't savvy enough to even know to look to see if there was malicious software that might be the reason for this. Mm-hmm. Especially if you're a man, they're going to say, well, of course it's there because you downloaded it yourself and put it there
right. In
a weird directory name because you're trying to hide it. And
wow.
There's considerable risk to having your computer controlled by malware.
Boy, that's something I certainly hadn't thought of, and I imagine the majority of people out there who have bots in their machines, and from what I understand, that totals the millions and millions of people probably didn't know that as well. So glad you brought it up, and certainly it's something that I think we need to see written about more and talked about more so that people don't feel like this is just either an inconvenience or something that doesn't affect them at all. Well, I see our time is up. If people want to ask you more questions about this very interesting topic, where can they reach you?
At askeset@eset.com.
Well, thanks a lot, Randy. As always, it's been a pleasure. This is Gary Thompson and Randy Abrams for the Malware Report.